So there's your question. So how did you first respond? Now I want you to see the analogy. There he was, science fiction movie, learning that all of what he had thought the world was, that it really hadn't. He had all this time been plugged up to a computer program. And so how was it for you when you first discovered some of the things that you were plugged into, that it really all along had just been a system of control? Last month, we played a video clip of a young man who said he realized that he had been brainwashed in church. He had thought he was a he had been told that if anybody that did not believe like he believed, that they were going to hell. So as far as he's concerned, all the Baptists were going to hell, all the Church of God in Christ were going to hell, all Catholics, everybody that wasn't his particular denomination was going to hell. And so said the past year or so, him and his wife had been attending a church and starting to make some discoveries about different things, the realization that things that they had been a part of, it had really just been personal preference. Just some doctrine, but not necessarily truth. And so I know that for us here, even here in urban life, like I've done teachings about salvation by grace, and it's by work, not by works, but it's by grace. I've done talked about the security of the born again believers. I've taught about what it really means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, we did the series, we talked about depression and mental illness and anxiety, and how it doesn't mean necessarily somebody's demonized because they're dealing with those issues. We talked about tithing from the right perspective, not because you're scared of a curse and scared that you're going to hell if you don't tithe, you know, all those types of things. So how did you respond to the reality of how control tactics had been used against you through your life? I got the microphone back there. Who ready to go first? Just talk about your response. Give you a minute to think about that. How did you respond the first time truth came to you? Was it sort of like Neo? I don't believe this. I don't believe in you. Let me out. Let me out. How was your first response when you heard truth? The Bible presented in proper perspective. Give you a minute to think about it.
I didn't get angry at first. I was just so glad to find out that every mistake wasn't going to put me into hell. That he's a father, that he loves me. Just to even the concept of God being my father was just something wholly new. I mean, you heard the expression, but to actually that he actually responds to me, he's relational. He does see me as his child, and he's not disconnected from me. He's not far away. He's always present. It blew my mind, and I was just so happy to come into that realization. That wasn't hard. I was very happy. I didn't get angry until later. I got angry, yeah. And finding out that it was a form of control to, you know, to make people, but it was for to make people live right, so, you know, they didn't do things wrong. I understand that, but God is so much more than that. To find out that God was so much more than that. I'm happy at first and then angry because of the control.
Yeah, some of you, I hope you make the connection with what Carol just said. Many people have been taught that even after they get saved, that as soon as there's any failure in their life, it automatically means that they are kicked out of the family of God and they must start all over again to get back into good graces, get good into good God's good graces, or whatever the phrase would be. Failing to understand that, and that comes from a very particular doctrinal teaching that pretty much the Pentecostal branch of the church has embraced, and that is salvation is by works. You get saved by works, and you stay saved by works. And it has nothing, you know, Jesus died on a cross. Yeah, that's fine. That's good. You receive Jesus into your heart. But after that, then it's up to you to maintain it and to keep it. It's up to you. But the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. So it's still the same righteousness. None of our righteousness will help us stay saved. It doesn't. And the system of control, I know I grew up in it also, was everybody striving for perfection. Lord, I'm striving, trying to make 199 and a half. One, two. So you remember that, some of y'all. Lord, I'm striving, trying to make 199 and a half. One, two. And that's because the understanding of people is the 100% I must make. Failing to understand that the 100% is in Christ. It's not in us. That's enough to shout on all. So there are people in those particular branches of the church, and even in the world, there are many people in the world that aren't even in church who are right now striving, trying to live a perfect life. And some of them even say that's why they won't come to church. I want to get myself together first before I come to church. And so that's part of the control that we're talking about, where the teaching about sin is used to control people. It keeps people coming to church. You can use that doctrine to keep make people give money. You can use, I mean, all you got to do is tell people if you don't come to church, you're forsaking the assembling of ourselves. If you're forsaking the assembly of ourselves, then you are in sin. And therefore, if you don't come to church, you're not saved. See the connection? I call it geometry. Remember, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Remember that from geometry and algebra and all that? So it's the same way sin is taught. If you don't come to church, then you're in sin. And if you're in sin, you're going to hell. Therefore, if you don't go to church, you're going to hell. And therefore, people strive to be at church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And we got to be there Friday night because that's pastoral offering night. Nobody want to go, so me and Carol will go. So I can tell you it was it's a very, very serious issue when you talk about that particular system of control. It keeps people in bondage. And when you come into the real knowledge of what God has for us, first of all, liberty can be frightening. Freedom can be frightening at first because you just cannot believe that God ain't looking at it that way. He's not looking at it that way. That's what religion does. You look like you're full. You got some. You look full. Go ahead, grab the mic.
No, good morning, everybody. First of all, I guess your question was kind of perplexing to me because growing up, my mother, she never put that on us. Yeah. So my wife, when we first met, I don't know if she understood what I was talking about, but I wasn't into denominations, you know. Yeah. That keeps us, that's another thing that keeps us divided. Separated from, whole control thing. Yeah. We all believe in the same God, but yet, hey, the Catholics are here, the Baptists are doing that, and I'm right, they're all wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You said, so we were never put up under that. My brothers and sisters grew up Catholic. My mother was Methodist. My father was Baptist. And later on, came up under the Pentecostal. You know? But it was all, like you said, everything is changing. You learn, you grow.
Yeah.
You know, you learn and you grow. So the whole neo thing, the one thing my mother always taught us was, the truth is the truth, no matter where you come from. Now, the people laying it out may have their own
little twist to it.
Yeah, their own little things and reasons behind it. Yeah. But if it's the truth, it's the truth. But you got to know the truth for yourself so that when you hear it, you'll understand that. Yeah. So, that revelation moment, I guess I've always known. It's just a matter of accepting. Yeah. So once I, you know, came into my own, I accepted it. As a teenager, I knew, and I made some different choices and different things, but it wasn't like, hey, I've never heard this before.
Yeah.
She brought us up in that. So I accepted it. Yeah. You know, once I got the acceptance, I was fine. So it wasn't, I don't know if it was just like Neo where I was, I knew it. It was just time to grow and accept it.
Yeah.
So that was my whole thing. The controlling thing, we weren't raised like that. So I can kind of identify with what you're saying. Like some people haven't seen all the different sides.
Yeah.
I know how they're this and we're this.
Yeah.
They're this and we're this and we're the right. Well, it's a lot of people going to hell if that's true, you know, because so you get over that. So once you start to understand that, like you said, you're liberated from the confines of the dogma keeping us all separated.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Very good.
Oh, I just praise the Lord for what the gentleman was saying, because when you hear the truth, it sets you free, and that's how you know it is the truth. Because even when I came here to this ministry, there was a lot of things that we were taught, and I thought it was truth. But when truth really came, it ministered to my spirit, and it was like a refreshing, like you're getting saved all over again. It was, and that's what the truth does for you if you receive it. You know, it will set you free. It'll change your mind from the wrong part of what you had been taught. Wow. And it's rejuvenating. It really is. But at first, when you first hear it, You want to, you know, kind of, you don't receive it right away. You got, you know, you are rolling around in your mind, you know. But one thing about the truth, you can roll it around in your mind all you want, but it's gonna bug you. You know what I mean? And it will like renew you, you know, and it's nothing like hearing the truth and seeing things right. And not only that, it will bless you to, you know, it's so important for us as a people of God to get this thing right, because how we see it, that's the way we're going to give it out to somebody else. And it's so important that we strive. That's why, oh, God, I done got started. You know, when the word says, blessed are those eyes that see and those ears that hear. And it's really saying your eyes are blessed because you want to see. You know, some people want to be in the dark. They want to be in bondage because they only want to go so far where they don't have to do too much. But when you have committed yourself to God, you want to get this thing right because you don't want God looking bad. You know, because we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for God and those ears that hear. When you come to church, that's what you come for. You come to hear what God is saying to you, and you're coming to see what God wants you to see. That's why you're intent. You know, I'm intent. I don't want nobody bother me when the word is, when the word is going forth, because I reverence the word of God and the man and woman of God. And I know that God has put them here to speak through. And it don't have to be no big person, you know what I mean, for me to hear. I know when truth come, even if it's through a child, you know what I mean? I want to hear it because I want to be prepared, a prepared vessel for the Lord. Because if God's going to be sending people here or even in our lives, I don't want to be a shipwreck to them. I don't want to make them worse than they are. Whatever I say, I want it to be deliverance for them, you know, a healing for them. And if you and the church that I came out of, it was mixed in with law and grace. So the law kept you looking at yourself, you know, that's one thing. And being under condemnation and making feel guilty all the time. You know, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. You know what I mean? We're putting a whole emphasis on what we're doing. Yes. And it's not what we're doing, it's what Christ has already done for us. Yes. And this is what this is liberating for me because I don't have no confidence in my flesh. Yes. Because my life was a kind of life it took away all my self-confidence about myself, you know what I mean? Yeah. I have no confidence in flesh, and I don't have no confidence in man until I see God in him, you know what I mean? When I see God in you, then I'm fine, you know. I'll sit down, you know, and hear what you have to say. Because I want to be furbished unto every good work, you know. And you know, the scripture says, what clearing of the mind, you know, when you're really ready to change your mind, when you hear the truth and not fight against it, and when you receive it, what a clearing it does in you. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. And this is what I'm happy about. When you preached on the tithes and the gates and everything, you know what I mean? It just set me free, and I'm just rejoicing because it's just so important for us to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us personally so that we won't have anything in us. We will be a free vessel for the Lord. You know what I mean? You don't have no stuff in you to get in the way. You know what I mean? Because you have allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to you and to set you free and to make you whole. And I tell you, that's why when I come here, I was telling Pastor the Sunday that I was supposed to be praying during the morning prayer. He started just talking, you know, saying stuff. Every word he said, it was like hitting me, you know. It was like went right in me. And every time he said something, it refreshed my spirit. And I was just being like heightened, you know, heightened in the spirit. So when he said, Mom, you can get up and pray now, I was all ready for it. I said, I'm happy now. You know, all the fear, I wasn't thinking about myself. And this is what, you know, you want to come to that place where it's no more you, but it's Christ in you. And that's the most free of mind that you can have is when you get up, it ain't knowing that it's not you. But it's what's in you. It's just that's going to do the work, so you don't have to be worrying about, you know, what effect it's going to have because it ain't up to you, you know. So many times when, before you come to this place, you're always thinking about how you're going to look. You know, you're going to look bad or what they're going to think. When you get out of that and you know that it's not you, that it's the Holy Spirit in you, then you can put it all on the Holy Spirit, you know. Yes. Yes. And that's such a joy. But See, y'all got me all started. But I just say, what a freeing, what a clearing of your mind and a freeing of your spirit, you know, yes. when you see it like this.
Yes.
I just want to say that coming up as a young child not knowing God is kind of lonely and depressed. But having a mom as Buddhism, dad was Baptist, you didn't know who you was. So as I got older, I pressed my way seeking God because my life was really a depressed mode. I wanted to kill myself. I couldn't, I didn't have the love at home. I ran away from home. I sat in the desert in a dark, dark, dark place. My whole life was nothing but dark. But as I got older, I found my way to seek God. He was my redemption. He was my salvation. He was my everything.
Yes, yes.
And I'm glad that I found him.
Yes, Lord.
Because right now, you know, when I found out I was going through a divorce, my first love and everything, that took my toll from everything, from my childhood to adulthood. And not knowing who my dad is, and even if I try to find to see who my dad was, it wouldn't matter, because you said when your father or mother forsake you, God would take you.
Yes.
That's who rescued me, you know,
yes.
from 9 years old, not knowing who my father was. I had a father, my earthly father, but my heavenly father was the one that really cleansed me,
yes.
to rejuvenate me to who I am today. If I didn't have God right now, I wouldn't know who I am. But to find salvation, it's like the most pride of my joy,
yes.
in my life.
Yes.
It made me stronger to, you know, I had a vision that one night I was in my depression mode. I was reading the Bible, and this is in my 30th year, and I was bedridden. I was sick and had to have a hysterectomy. But I read the Bible that whole day, and that night came. It was during a blizzard. I had no heat in the house, and I saw the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in my room. The bright light came into my room. I saw the image of Jesus saying, "You are free. You will not have to cry no more. For the rest of your life, you are free. Go through the light." And I look at Jesus and said, "Can I go through the light?" Ever since I went through that light during the blizzard in 94, I saw Jesus saying, "You're free from all your burden," which now I'm free. I don't cry no more. I don't fear who my dad is. I don't fear who not having a dad, or because my God upstairs is my dad. So that's what makes my joy and everything right now. That's what I live off is God. Without him, I would be nothing.
Oh, my Lord. Bless the Lord. Come on, praise God with us. Thank you, Lord. We, over here.
As I was sitting here, what keeps coming in my, to me, is just the realization of how much he loves me.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I've been saved since I was a teenager. You know, I never caught that realization until maybe the last couple years of my life, honestly, yeah. really realizing, God, wow, you really love me,
yes.
despite yeah. all of my imperfections. You know,
yeah.
if I mess up or if I feel I do something wrong, I don't have to feel condemned, or I don't have to feel guilt.
Yeah.
You know, just that the love and the forgiveness of God, you know, and realizing just how much he loves me. And even to this day, just thinking about it, you know, it gets me teared up
yes.
at times.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's a love that no one else
yes, Lord.
Has for you.
Yes, Lord.
And it's like a love that, wow, my humanness, it's difficult for me to have that love for someone else,
yes.
you know, but I think that's just what's in my spirit right now. Just, you know, just how much love he has for us. And also with the realization, just kind of answering that question and realization, I think it really helped me to really learn how to embrace other people, really learn how to walk in love with other people, to engage in conversations with people that are conflictual, that may be difficult, that are in disagreement with what I believe, and not feeling like I'm right and you're wrong, but to be open, you know, to where they're at and to what they have to say. And I'm glad you guys had talked about like that whole humanity piece, just realizing we are humans, we are spiritual beings, but on earth we are still human. And I think it's one of the realizations from, you know, the reality of just understanding that we're not these, I'm so spiritual all the time. And if I'm upset and I'm angry, it's okay to be upset and angry. You know, if I holler and scream, it's okay. You know, if I'm not, you know, following the love. Well, I mean, there are times as humans we get like that, and just a realization, it's okay. You're not doing anything wrong. You know, you didn't miss the mark. You're not saved anymore. You know, and it helps so much. It helps to understand, hey, I am human, and it helps you understand your emotions, your mental state, you know, not to put yourself under that condemnation because you weren't acting spiritual. So to say. So I think those are some of the realities that have definitely helped me in life, you know, and to understand, hey, if I am angry, how do I learn how to walk in love? You know, how do I, you know, if I'm angry, I don't have to beat myself up because I was angry or said something wrong or, you know, but to learn how to deal with that and walk through that as God would want me to do it. Yes. So those are a lot of things that, especially from coming here, that I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, really, it's like, wow. You know, I feel like I'm like learning all over again. You know, it's like, this is sometimes I feel like all this time, like it's a lot of truth that it's like, wow, I've really never, I mean, it wasn't taught that way. The scripture wasn't maybe interpreted in the correct way, you know, and when you really get the correct interpretation and where it comes from and everything and the way God sees things, like, Mary said, it's like kind of starting all over again. But it's good though, because you're kind of like that babe in Christ again, where everything's new and fresh. You're excited and like, oh my gosh, I need more. So, yeah. But that's everything.
Everybody was, it seems like everybody, a culmination of what everybody's saying. I think back when about that, one of the questions that came up. You know, I wondered if there were any real righteous pastors in Harrisburg. Most of us, we've been raised in Harrisburg, and I kind of thought the same thing, you know, not that I thought that there weren't any, you know, spiritual or righteous pastors. I knew there were, but I just hadn't really found any. And then some of the ones I met, I didn't expect perfection. I mean, I had a really good, you know, pastor, but he went away, you know, to another state. So after that happened, I felt lost. And then lo and behold, you guys, I just feel like, when God has blessed you and called you to have the opportunity to meet people such as yourselves that respond in a humble way, in service to him, with the love and compassion that you have to reveal the truth to people like ourselves, knowing that we are not, and you guys profess all the time, you're not perfect people, because we're not perfect, but just knowing that you have submitted yourself, like I said, in service to God first, and then to others, has, for me, has helped. Not just, and I, you know, I try not to do this. I know you guys don't like when I do this, but I'm not trying to blow you guys up or anything, but because that's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm just saying that the impact that you've had as far as being able to reveal the truth to us about God's word, because like what you were saying earlier, I haven't heard it like this, you know, and it's completely transformed my life, you know, and just not my life, but. You're gonna get me crying. I didn't want to do this. But I mean, your whole family is transformed, you know, when you get the truth is revealed. Because it's, I mean, it's not just I mean, it's a revelation that sets you and your family free, you know, so you get out of bondage, you get out of, like she said, condemnation and fear and all the things that hung you up all your life, and you're able to walk with him in love, and you understand what a father's love is all about. You can serve him more freely with humility and learning to love others, learning how to treat others. Not saying that you're going to do it right every time, but you're still a person that's in transition yourself. You're learning, you're growing, and you're striving. But I don't know. It's just the whole revelation of truth and reality when you've been deprived of it most of your life. It's just, I don't know. It's like a burst of, I don't know, like Jesus says, it's like a fresh wellspring of water just flowing out of you. And you want to share it with others, you know. It's like you've been showered upon with all that truth and goodness and love and mercy, and you want to be able to give that and share that to others. And that's why I'm so thankful for this ministry. I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful that we are graced enough to hear this truth, because some people, as you know, you mentioned earlier, my family have come here, even though my family has said that we were always looking for righteous pastors and a pastor that loved his wife and all these things that we said we were looking for. You know, I found out in truth that's not necessarily, you know, what they were looking for. They had other things that they needed and they felt they wanted to explore, and that's their option, you know. But I thank God for the truth. Thank God that you guys have set an example before us, so we know the sincerity that's in God's heart towards us, and how much he loves us, and how much he feels about us, as far as how much love, the depth of his love for us, to grace us with people, that he sent people like you here, has planted you here for this season, to give people opportunity to get nourished and strengthened and to grow, for those that want to take part in this kind of communion. You know, so I'm just grateful to God, and I thank God for the truth that you've shared.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, everybody has their own, you know, peace, but I like what you said about acceptance. Yeah. It's just accepting something. And where I was, you know, my mom, they were raised like Episcopalian, and my dad was Baptist, and a lot of different stuff, and all my cousins were Catholic and a lot of things. And I would hear different people in school and talk about this saved, and I didn't know about really what is saved. You know, I heard that she's saved. It was, and you know how they judge? Because they dressed a certain way. Oh, that's a saved. She's saved. And I'll be, well, what is this saved about? But as I grew, and I don't know, the Lord, I guess, you know, they say he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. And if he's going to get you, he's going to get you. And I would be young, and I would have this desire to read the Bible at my house. And I'd start asking my mom these questions and stuff about the Bible. And she, you know, try to answer me the best as she could. And I had these two friends. We would go in, this one girl had a finished basement, and we'd go in her basement and we'd talk about God. And then we'd say, well, who is God? Wow. And where is he at? And let's close our eyes and try to. And I'd say, I see black. And we'd say, but that's something, because we'd say if he came from nothing, we were trying to find out what is nothing. And I'd say, well, that's black. Well, that's something. The one said, I see red. We said, well, that's something, red. See, our minds knew too much. So we couldn't really, we just had to give it up. Then we'd walk by a holiness church. And we would go in and we'd peer in their window. And they'd be jumping around, you know, and we would mock them and do that. Yeah. But one time, she called us in. She got us all in. And it was about, that time it was like six or seven of us. She lined us across the front there. And they just prayed for us. This took us right. We came right in off the street. And they prayed for us. But I didn't know how, I guess, that little prayer would even go on as I grew. Like, because then all this stuff started happening as a teenager. And we would look. But I had a whole different concept. And when I did commit, see, I got saved at home. Different people were talking. He was using people in the neighborhood to talk to me and say things. And they would be, the one girl said she went to her pastor and said, "Oh, Jesus, you got to pray for this woman on the street," because she felt like she knew God was dealing with me. But I always was hard. I was like, well, you're supposed to be so this and that. And why aren't you this? And, you know, they say how the enemy knows stuff. Like, yeah. She's trying to tell me. I'm like, well, you're supposed to be so saved. What are you doing with this on that? On like the church people do all this legalism.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They would deal with a lot of legal stuff and laws and rules and regulations. So when I did finally, actually I got saved watching the TV, one of the TV ministries, and the person was on, I won't even say which show, but he was pointing like, now just come on and pray with me. And I was like, flinging at the TV. He said, you don't even have to get out that chair. And I was like, like he said, you can close your eyes right where you're at. Oh, the next thing I know, I had closed my eyes. I guess I did, because when I came to, that show had been off for 2 hours and I was on my knees. And I had asked them to come in. But then I kept just living my life the way I did. And I used to go out once a month with my girlfriends. And when we went out together, things was happening. I said, boy, you know, I said, something, I felt like some energy just left out of me when we came in here. And then we're sitting here, and then I ordered something to drink.
Yeah.
And I said, and I took this sip, and I said, something doesn't want me to drink this. And they were like, well, don't drink it, girl, you know, like that. And I was like, well, but then a voice spoke and said, well, you know, you don't go out but maybe once a month. You're not really a drinker. So if you hurry up and drink that and order another one and drink that real fast. And I obeyed it. And, of course, the feeling left. So I thought, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But then I came home and another TV show was on and a lady was giving her testimony and it sounded. I said, Lord, that's me. I said, when I prayed that prayer on my knees down there that day, and I said, that was you coming into me.
Yeah.
You don't want me doing this.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not doing it no more. I just made up, it was just something in me.
Yes.
Then I started talking to different people, and everybody was like, did you get saved or something? I kept saying, what is this saved stuff? I said, I don't know what, but something happened to me.
Yeah.
But I was telling them, I knew I didn't want to
live that way
like I was living anymore. And as I went on, and even then with my kids, and then different ones was inviting me to their church. And that was the thing. I was going to the one church, and they let me teach Sunday school, and they had a Bible school. And I mean, because I was really getting in the Word, you know. But then I kept feeling like, see, you say how some people leave a church. I felt like I was asking them questions about different things, but they were just saying, oh, it don't take all that. And this, and I said, but it says right here. Well, see, I was asking about the Holy Ghost then. And they were telling me at this church, well, it don't take all that. There are churches that believe like that, but it don't take all that. I said, it's not a matter if it takes all that. That's what it took for them. I said, in here. And if I said, why settle for a loaf of bread when God wants to give me a bakery?
Right.
I said, why settle for all that?
Right.
And so that's when I said, I want the bakery. So I wanted more. And I kept seeking the Lord. And we went to a revival. And when we went to this revival, a young man wanted to be saved. And he said, he come up to the altar. He said, I want all of you believers to come to the front. And I said, I'm a believer. I mean, I might not be like I should be or like everybody, but I'm a believer. So I went up there and I knelt down. And as we were praying, we were supposed to be praying for this young man, the Lord, to touch him and save him. I heard him saying, touch him, Lord. And then this one lady, I heard her say, touch me, Lord. And I said, Lord, that lady, we're supposed to be praying for that man. I said, and that lady's asking you to touch her. This is what I said right in the prayer on my knees. And I said, and then something just came to me. I said, well, Lord, if I can ask you to touch him, but yeah, touch me too. And I had a supernatural experience where I know God, I felt some hands on me and my eyes, I couldn't physically see nothing. And I actually felt this hand touch my face and my tongue, and a language came flowing out of me. And all night long, I was like, oh my God,
I said, I don't believe it. But I mean, I do, you know. And then it was like thundering and lightning and going on. And I was flinging this umbrella at me and my friend. It was like just a supernatural. But I was saying, I had a whole different perspective when I came. But the church that I was in, it was a lot of do's and don'ts stuff. Like, I still had a husband that wasn't saved at the time. And it was like, he might have said, well, let's go to a show. That's a sin. Loose hair, the devil. Everything was the devil. He said, you can't do nothing. And I would say, I can do anything I want to do, but I choose. He said, no, you're just listening to all these people. But what I wanted to say was, when people do have, it's how you see it. It's like the one guy, what did he say, the guy last week in the video? It was about your, what's the word?
Perspective.
Yeah, your perspective. Your how you, if you got green glasses on, everything you see is green. It doesn't matter that there's all an array of colors around. You're going to still have these blinders on, or you're going to still see it with the green. But I want all that off. I want to see God in his whole perspective. And I always was saying, look at the people that, you know, like, God, you got, so not all the Pentecostal people aren't just the only ones going to heaven. There are Catholic and there are charismatic Catholics that believe just like we do. There are people in every faith. Because I used to say, well, Lord, how can we, you said Israel is your chosen people, and we're not even them. And we've been grafted into that. So how are we going to come in like we're the head cheese, top cheese stuff? That's the kind of questions I would ask. And I remember thinking, you know, I thought so different. One time one girl told me, she said, I was saying something to her, and she said, oh, you just don't like the pastor, and you don't like his wife. I said, what does that got to do with? I said, all I asked you is, you said the pastor said this and his wife said that. And all I said to you was, what did the Holy Spirit say to you? And they said, you don't. And I said, oh, my God. And they snapped out on me. And I used to think, wow, you know what I mean? I believe my thing is, I think my mission, I like to talk to people. I like a lot of one-on-one. But I want people to get an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. Yes. I not basing it on all so much, all this, because I know they might get in prison one day. They ain't going to the church house. They ain't having your pastor come up in there and your favorite sister and brother. You're not going to have them. You're going to have to know him for yourself. And that's my main heart's desire, is the people would be saved, healed, and delivered, and have an intimate, personal relationship, you know, with the Lord. And that, and so the truth, when truth comes, like things that I've been told and taught, and I thought a lot of the ways that you all are teaching are some of the things that I have thought, but they always shot me down and made me feel like you, like that's wrong, or like you're out of line and you're out of order. But you know, especially they would just come with so many things, like things that you do. I say, yeah, but you were against us almost playing, having our kids play sports. And then when the kid would play sports, but if he went off and played the pros, you wasn't going to turn his ties down. Okay. I know that much. You wasn't going to turn them down, but yet you're going to talk about it. So where's the balance? I'm about balance too. That's another thing. I like clarity and balance. Those are my words, but I'm just saying, all of us come from different backgrounds, but the thing is we got to know him. And the whole key is he's love. And like he told me, if they're all so hellish and going to hell, you supposed to be a saint and love the hell out of them. I'm sorry, that's just the way I say it. I know people might think, but that's the truth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Loving. He said he's love. So where is the love? Yes, and love means discipline too.
Yes, it does.
They do have to, it is, there's a balance. Yes. You do have to discipline and correct and all of that, but it all has to be done in love. And I'm just saying, you know, so I'm thankful when truth comes and you know, reality comes to you, because he said that he will give us revelation. And that's the beauty of our God. He'll do that to each of us as individuals. Yes. You can cry out and pray about something, and he'll impart, he'll drop. I said the other day, I was praying with my friend. I said, "Oh Lord, just download your wisdom, your knowledge and understanding into us," because that's the ways of the young people now. Everything's being downloaded. I said, "Well, you download that down into us, your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding, so that we can, you know, so that we can do it the way you want it done." Not the way we think, because there's no good thing in this flesh here, our flesh, but we got to do it in his way. And I just love the Lord today, and I just thank him for all that he's done and doing and going to do in all of us, and I just believe it.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing, and all of you, as you shared today. We're going to ahead and wrap it up. See, y'all preach longer than me. I just let it be known. I just want y'all to know, y'all preach longer than me. That was the Holy Spirit. I told you there's a word in the body. And we talk like we do, Carol and I, because what we just experienced today, this is going to be foundational for our church, that we don't only look to the pastor to bring a word. I've shared this with you guys many times before. The Lord told us, when you get to Harrisburg, treat my people like they already have a relationship with me. Don't come talking to them like you're bringing some new revelation. And what we have learned since we've been here, when we've talked with you one-on-one, every single one of you have had strong, intimate relationship with the Lord. What you were looking for was just confirmation of those things that God has been speaking to me. Because it does become difficult when you go from church to church and maybe they're not talking about the things that God's telling you in your secret place. God's revealing these things to me, and I'm looking for, where is the place where what God's put in me, that's what's in the leaders there or my other brothers and sisters, so that I know I ain't crazy. And so this has been difficult for us on this journey, and we are so appreciative that you heard the voice of God and you came and joined in with us in this assignment that we have. I know that we live in a time where there's a teaching called universalism that's going forth, that's telling people that they're already saved. And it sounds the same as the grace message. That's why it's so difficult these days to talk about or to teach about grace, because when you teach about grace and the love of God, they think we're saying the same thing as the New Age and the universalism people who are talking about the love of God and everybody's going to heaven and all of that. That's not what we're talking about. It's not what we're talking about at all. And like when my wife started off talking about it, the discovery that, you know, every single little thing you do don't put you in hell. But if you come from that world and that's been your upbringing all of your life, then when you hear the true meaning of grace, the true meaning of righteousness, what the Bible actually means and not just what our denominations taught us, then we are liberated, not free to sin. When you're locked into that old denominational Pentecostal world, only thing you can hear is, that pastor just said I'm free to sin. But Paul said, no, I'm talking about grace like this, not so that you can take advantage of it.
Right.
That's specifically what Paul said. I'm not saying we live in, you're free to just kind of do anything. Don't try to take advantage of the grace of God. God forbid, he said. But I still got to tell you how good this is. You know, and it's just that for many of us, one, my younger brother and I were talking about this, especially in the African-American community, not the exclusion of anybody else, but in the African-American community, we overemphasize discipline and sin and all of that. We use that as the number one motivating factor for living right, going to church, serving God, everything. It's always hell and the consequences of sin. And the Bible actually talks about it. I can't even think of words. I said, when you talk about the law had a certain glory. There actually is a certain glory that comes with the emphasis on the law, but the greater glory comes when you talk about grace. You know, you see, God does some powerful things, and that's part of why it becomes a struggle for those of us who come from those backgrounds that emphasize sin and living right and only talked about holiness from the standpoint of performance and clothes. And so when you hear somebody stand up and talk about grace and the love of God, the only thing that your mind shapes is you're giving people a license to sin. You're giving people the freedom to sin. But actually, just the opposite happens. When you find out just how free you are, you love God so much that I don't want to do nothing to displease him. I feel like crying right now. It's the difference between fear of hell. It's drastic difference between the fear of hell and the love of God.
Love for God.
See, I live right because I love him. I got into a fight, debate with this young man early days in our ministry, and he finally realized. He said, "So, Pastor, you one of those preachers that preaches about grace?" I said, "Yeah." "And you one of those preachers that talks about the love of God?" "Yeah, yeah." "So then you don't really believe that once a person gets saved that they'll never walk away from God?" I said, "I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that they'll never walk away from God, but I'm just saying every single thing they do ain't walking away from God. Just like you decided to get saved, you decide to walk away. When the Bible says uses the phrase stumbling as far as the grace of God and the relationship with God, that actual Greek term means to defect. It's a decision, like defecting from America, saying I want to go to Russia, or defecting from Russia. It's not just, oops, I took a drink and now I'm going to hell. I fornicated. And then, no, it's a decision. Just like you decide to get saved, you decide to walk away from God. And you can talk to anybody that's out there clubbing and everything, that giving their heart to the Lord. Ask them, "So are you walking away from God?" "No, it's just that I'm mad at this church and at this preacher and at these hypocrites." They'll give you the reasons why they're doing all that stuff. "Are you happy out here?" "No, because I can't enjoy the drink like I used to. And the party kind of..." Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there the whole time saying, "You don't belong here. This ain't you no more. This ain't even part of your life anymore." Why is the Holy Spirit right there bugging them? Because he's now in them. He's in them. That's why I love listening to your testimony. She's saying stuff, experienced things that ain't nobody tell her. The Holy Spirit within her. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit within you. And so that's the kind of stuff that those of us who come from certain backgrounds, we struggle with this because we have been motivated a certain way. So this young man, as he said, he said, then why live right? If it's all just about the love of God, then what's the thing that's going to motivate you to live right? I said, the love of God, not the fear of hell. In fact, see, I'm one of those, I'm born and raised in church, Baptist and Pentecostal. I was in both. Let me tell you, it's the same in both. Whether you're in the Baptist who teach once saved, you always saved, and no matter what, you'll always be saved, or you're in the Pentecostal branch which teaches anything you do, you're going to hell. So it's all the two extremes. But I can tell you from having been in both, you got the same results. You get the same results. You got either the Baptist kids who will say, "Well, I'm just going to go on out there and club, and I'm going to sleep around, and I'm just pray that I don't get killed." You got the church guy in Christ kids that go, "I'm just going to pray that I make it back to church and I can get saved again." They still doing the same thing, just two different doctrinal points of view about it. Because the only thing that motivates you to live right is the love of God. When I said that to that young man, he kind of went blank, because at the time in his life, him and his wife was having some. He was having marital trouble. So I couldn't even use the example. I was getting ready to. I was getting ready to say, sort of like you live right and don't sleep around on your wife because you love her. not because you're scared of her, because she will kill you when she find out. But the reason for not sleeping around on her is not because you're afraid of her. It's because you love her. Fear, the Bible says, only has torment. Fear does not lead anybody into right relationship with God. The Bible says it's kindness, the kindness of God, that leads us to repentance. So the love message is not a cheap little thing. It's a powerful thing.
And neither is grace, because grace does not take away the results or the consequences of sin. It does not take away the consequences.
And that's why it's kind of difficult for people when they hear this message, like what you guys have expressed and what we're talking about here today. They think it can begin to feel like you talk about grace and love, you're just giving people the reason to sin. But remember, I don't know if you guys remember that teaching. You can check it out on the website. We spent like 2 weeks talking about the consequences. The consequences of deliberately sinning, because it can lead you to the point where you can turn your back on God. Because when you start messing up on purpose, you know this is wrong and you do it anyway, then you open yourself up to all kinds of warfare and everything going on in your life. One of my brothers, we grew up in church, in the things of God, ministering together, traveling all over this country, singing, preaching, all of it. And he got hurt in a church and left and went out into the world and started living a bisexual lifestyle. I mean, he went all the way out there, y'all. He came back, found out he was full-blown AIDS. So by the time he decided to get his life together and come back to church again, then we all praying, Lord, please heal him, Lord. Please, Lord, give him restoration. He died. Why? Consequences of sin. Yes, gave his heart and restored everything back to the Lord, all that stuff. But God didn't change the consequences. And that's the balance. I love you saying that. See, that's the balance. And I'm not going to use the control thing. You see, I could teach the you going to hell thing to try to make people stay in the church and then, you know, adhere to the message and give and all that. No, the balance is, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to get there early. You will not fulfill what God has told you to do. Plus, you don't know what you've passed on to your children and your grandchildren. So that's the balance side. You mean to tell me that your brother went to heaven? Yeah, because he didn't give up his relationship with the Lord. He was in rebellion, like our kids can be. Anybody got any rebellious children? Don't say nothing. Don't run. Seem to always have that one that fights you the most, and you know, they're strong-willed. God's got some strong-willed children. God has strong-willed children. All of us who have had ones, you know what I'm talking about. But your relationship does not cease because of the strong-willed child. You just have to deal with them completely differently than the rest of them. And a lot of times, you got to let them suffer the consequences. What's the word? Consequences of their decision. And sometimes the consequences is a whipping. Sometimes there's a punishment. Sometimes there's something you withhold. And here's the most dangerous one of all, because only God can do this. Sometimes the consequences is let them live out their decision. And for my brother, it was death, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So there's the balance in it all. Wow. Bless the Lord. Well, what an awesome day. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord.